Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is On Air Daily News for Wednesday, February 22nd, 2022. 23, whole year behind, February 22nd, 2023. I'm Naima Latif, and today we are joining a live White House briefing. Once again, the White House is holding a press briefing to give the American people an up-to-date report. So let us join them now. And, of course, if you are listening online, you can, in fact, tune in to the live White House press briefing. One of the things that President Joe Biden has done is to make his daily or every other day briefings available to the public. And in addition, he has also organized a regular meeting of those who are involved in community organizing. There is a briefing for those who are involved in some of the community affairs, and this gives people a chance to interact with some of those who are involved in policymaking decisions. Communication with the constituents has been a means that this particular administration has kept people informed and with a sense of involvement, even if they disagree with policies. And right now, one of the major issues has been the war with Ukraine. So, for those who are feeling a bit apprehensive because the United States is welcoming Ukrainian refugees and, of course, has obviously taken a political stand in supporting the Ukraine against Russian soldiers, will this automatically involve the United States in a war that could produce casualties from America, or would it likely bring a more abrupt ending to the war based on the military might of the United States? These are questions that have been asked, especially because there is concern that America's involvement will end up in another undeclared war in which troops are committed and there are casualties, and yet there is no official war that has been declared. So this event, this consistent briefing, has kept people abreast and even given them an opportunity to observe whether or not the American people are being told all of the details when it comes to the war with Ukraine, the involvement of the U.S. military, the negotiation process, the refugees coming from Ukraine, and some of the press has challenged the White House in its reports and even the language used to describe exactly what is happening and how the relationship with Ukraine differs from many of the other nations in which there have been attempts for people to come to the United States and seek asylum. Is there a difference in the way refugees from the Ukraine are being handled? And is this all a part of the political decision to challenge Russia's invasion of the Ukraine? How will American people ultimately be affected if there are troops committed to get involved? And how will the American people stay briefed? So we'll hear from the National Security Council, John Kirby, as he gives an update on the war in Ukraine.
Actually, I had a brief follow-up on the balloon incident earlier this week.
Okay.
Had you seen the story in Aviation Week that an Illinois hobby club feels like their balloon might have been a candidate for the balloon shot?
I had a week ago.
That because it's very particular location and the last bit of data that they got.
Yeah, we just can't confirm those reports or what the remains of that balloon might actually end up being, and we haven't recovered it, so it's very difficult until you can get your hands on something to be able to tell. And because of where it is over Lake Huron, I mean, we all have to accept the possibility that we may not be able to recover it.
But a quick follow-up: the president said yesterday, said Baez, that it was out of an abundance of caution. But to, an anecdote like this, does it make any sort of reconsideration of perhaps this was an overreaction at any point over the past week?
So I'd ask you to, just for a second, put yourself in his shoes. It's certainly in light of the Chinese spy balloon and what was a very real, certainly very sizable, and tangible security threat, surveillance threat to the United States in the wake of that. So the military fine-tunes their radar parameters to see more, and of course they're finding more. And you got these three, and they're unidentified. They're not responding to any kind of communication, so we don't know who owned.
I used to get asked to do a lot of free speaking gigs, and then everything changed, and I started getting offered $10,000, $15,000, $25,000.
And, of course, this is, again, the response to the shooting down of the balloon over U.S. skies.
I don't know what the purpose is. You know, and they're flying in sovereign U.S. airspace. They're also at altitudes that could affect the safety of civilian air traffic, and based on the flight path and the prevailing winds, potentially moving over sensitive military sites. And the military leaders come to you and they say, Mr. President, we don't know what these are. We're concerned about what they could be and about where they could be going and what the purpose might be. and we recommend that you take these down in the interest of safety and security of American people, went out of an abundance of caution. The president acted on that recommendation because he takes so seriously his responsibilities to protect this country, our secrets, our interests, and our people. So the short answer to your question is absolutely not. The situation we were in, the information available, the recommendation of our military commanders, it was exactly the right thing to do at exactly the right time. Now, going forward, and you heard the president talk about this yesterday, we're going to make sure we've got some new rules in place for how we make decisions in future circumstances. That doesn't mean, and you heard the president say this yesterday, it doesn't mean that there won't be additional shootdowns if he believes there's a legitimate threat to our safety and security. But it does mean that we're going to put a new set of parameters on the decision-making process going forward.
But just last follow-up on that, everything you just said, can that coexist? Let me rephrase it. Is there any feeling of frustration of perhaps this was a $12 hobby balloon from a group of kids in Illinois after the fact?
Again, given the information that we had at the time, and the legitimate concerns about potential surveillance in the wake of the Chinese spy balloon, you make decisions based on the best information that you have, and ultimately you have to come down to some core principles when you're making decisions as commander-in-chief. And of course, the most core principle of all is safety and security of the American people and our interests. So again, I say to you, the short answer to that is no. And frankly, given the circumstances in light of what happened with this spy balloon, wouldn't that be a better outcome if it turns out that they were in fact civilian or recreational use or a weather balloon and therefore benign, which is what the intelligence community thinks? Isn't that a better outcome than to have to think about the possibility of greater threats to our national security?
Thanks, Green. So, John, I take that to mean you guys don't have any plans to reimburse the bottle cap balloon for Dave?
I don't know of any plans to reimburse. We honestly don't know what to do.
More generally speaking, what can you tell Americans about what they should expect in the future, understanding that these new parameters are going to be classified? If they see something in the air, should there be any concern that a missile is going to follow it?
Again, we're not going to rule anything out in or out in terms of how we're going to treat with additional potential unidentified aircraft. I thought the president did a terrific job yesterday of putting this into some context and making it clear to the American people that their safety will always come first, that these are likely, we're going to find out that they were likely of a benign purpose and not a threat at all. So there shouldn't be any overarching concern by the American people that the skies are somehow full of attack balloons or that they're at greater risk. If anything, look back at how we dealt with this, again, with information that we had that wasn't complete, but yet legitimate concerns about a threat, and dealing with that threat safely and efficiently. Nobody hurt as these balloons were taken down. And I think that should give the American people a measure of comfort and confidence. But the president wants to make sure that as we go forward, we do so smartly and we do so effectively. And that's why he wants a set of new rules determined so that we can now deal with these in a perhaps a different way, go in the future.
While we have you here, what can you tell us about this ISIS raid in Syria?
Yeah, so I think you saw Central Command put a statement out that last night U.S. military and SDF partner forces conducted a helicopter raid against an ISIS senior leader, a man named Hamza al-Hamzi. And he was overseeing the group's deadly terrorist network in eastern Syria before he was killed in the raid. As the Pentagon has reported, an explosion during the raid also resulted in four U.S. troops and one other working dog suffering some injuries. The troops and the working dog are in stable conditions, are being treated at a U.S. military facility, medical facility in Iraq. And I think the Pentagon will have more information on that.
Okay, in the back. Thanks, Gideon, and thanks, John. So first, two questions. First, will the American public eventually find out what the...
And that, of course, again, is one of the issues that have caused concern, is the fact that aircraft was shot down without identifying what it was.
Which specific benign purposes they had.
We would like nothing better, but I can't sit here and promise you that we'll get to that level of fidelity of detail. A lot of it's going to depend on an ability to recover these three objects. And just to remind you, one's on sea ice in the north of Alaska in Arctic conditions, extremely bad winter weather up there. They have not been able to really mount anything on the ice to find them now. The other's in the Yukon Territory, thick wilderness, and as of today, I don't believe the Royal Canadian Mounted Police or their investigative organizations have been able to get to it. And then the other one fell over Lake Huron, again, in very deep water. I think the Canadians have decided that they're not going to look for it anymore. I don't believe that the United States has made a call on that yet. So pretty tough conditions, going to be very difficult to find them, let alone once you find that debris, be able to do the forensics to identify it. So I can't promise you that we'll know definitively one way or the other.
Question on President Biden's talk with Xi Jinping. So as the administration is trying to ease tension, the House Select Committee on China is trying to focus on human rights abuses by the regime by planning hearings, et cetera, on that topic. Will President Biden bring up human rights issues with Xi Jinping?
The president never fails to bring up human rights concerns. And when he met with President Xi in Bali, he brought it up then. And it's not just with President Xi. The president believes that you have to lead with your values, particularly in foreign policy. He's never shy about bringing that up.
John, what's the likelihood that President Biden meets with President Zelensky next week?
There's no meeting. You're talking about on the trip? There's no meeting with President Zelensky scheduled for the trip right now.
And related to President Xi and that call with President Biden as well, have tensions cooled enough to the two leaders can jump on the phone together right now?
There is an open line of communication, and I'm not denying that there aren't still tensions, particularly in the wake of the spy balloon. We don't believe it's the appropriate time right now for Secretary Blinken to travel to Beijing. And you heard the president that he will want to have another conversation with President Xi, as you might expect that he would, but we don't have anything on the schedule right now, and we'll have to do that at the time when the president believes it's appropriate. What's really important here, and I know the question was about President Biden and President Xi, is that the lines of communication with the PRC remain open. I recognize that there are tensions, but Secretary Blinken still has an open line of communication with the foreign minister. We still have an embassy in Beijing with a terrific ambassador, Nick Burns, and the State Department also can communicate directly with the PRC's embassy personnel here. So the lines are open. Unfortunately, the military lines aren't open. And that's really what we would like to see amended. And it was, of course, curtailed after Speaker Pelosi's trip to Taiwan.
Is there a precondition for a call?
There's no preconditions for a call. The president will want to have a conversation with President Xi at the appropriate time.
Thank you. Thanks, Kirby. Just a quick one on the president's trip to Poland. Is he going to be making a stop to Zhejiev or anywhere other than Warsaw?
Right now, the trip is going to be in Warsaw.
Before the Chinese spy balloon incident led to a fine-tuning of radar, how was the administration tracking flying objects, if at all?
Let me go back and just, I want to answer your first question again. I said right now, the trip will be into Warsaw. So I didn't want to make it sound like I was alluding to a change to it. And your second question was, how were we tracking these before?
Correct, because the reason why you were able to...
Attention video crew.
The issue of aircraft being shot down creates questions because the United States military chose to shoot first and ask questions later. To return to our
question. Yesterday was because the time was correct. Yeah. So
yeah.
What were you doing before, if anything, to track aerial objects?
The commander of NORAD, General Van Herk, spoke to this last week, and the way he characterized it was that they were tuned to look for defaulted to look for other types of threats in our airspace, fast moving, lower altitude, more kinetic potential threats, such as ballistic or cruise missiles or bomber or fighter aircraft. That's what their focus was, that they had not adjusted the, as he called it, gates on the radar, the filters, to look for things that were much higher, much slower, and a smaller radar cross-section, harder to see. So, as we said the other day, when you adjust for that, you're likely to see more of what you're asking the radar to look for. But it just wasn't set for that. He was focused on other types of threats, more kinetic threats to our, or potential kinetic threats in our airspace.
So it sounds like, you know, yesterday the president said that he wanted to work to establish a better inventory of unmanned airborne objects. Does that mean currently there is no inventory?
I wouldn't say there's none, but I think it's fair to say that he wants us to focus a little bit more on this particular issue and learn more about what's out there, what's up there, quite frankly.
Got it. And then how long do you think it will take to implement this four-step plan? And what will you do in the meantime? Is the policy to shoot them down before you implement these four things the president wants?
No, I think you can imagine that even though we're still working on the policy parameters, that we're going to continue to follow a very deliberate, thoughtful decision-making process here should there be another track. There aren't any right now. I can't give you a timeline specific to the calendar about when we'll be done this work, but it won't take very long. I think in a matter of days we'll be able to transmit to Congress the classified parameters. We're still working out through the interagency right now and get those to the Hill within days, I think, and then we'll be executing on it. So there's not, I don't want to leave you with the impression that there's going to be some big old air gap between him wanting these parameters written and us being able to execute on them.
How long do you think it'll,
I mean, we're already in many ways using some of those parameters just informally as we're looking at the skies. Again, there's no active tracks right now. So I think it'll just be, we'll transmit these parameters within coming days. It won't be very, very long. And it's not like it's going to be sent to be debated on or voted on. It's going to be our parameters defined by the National Security Council team and the interagency on how we're going to deal with this.
So a question on the trip to Poland. Polls show American support for Ukraine has softened somewhat. There's obviously concerns about House Republicans not going along with more support for Ukraine. How does the president try to square that with his message of support on the trip? And is his audience, what you consider to be a domestic audience back home, or is audience Russia and other countries in Eastern Europe?
The president well knows that whenever he speaks, he's speaking to people all around the world, as well as, of course, the American people. But I think you'll hear messages in the president's speech that will certainly resonate with the American people, certainly resonate with our allies and partners, without question resonate with the Polish people who have done so much and continue to do so. And I would suspect that you'll hear him messaging Mr. Putin as well as the Russian people. Now, I want to go back to your first question. It almost assumes as if support's going to wane or waver or dwindle, and that's just not how the president sees it. Yes, there are a small number of members on Capitol Hill, in House Republicans specifically, that have expressed publicly their concerns about support for Ukraine, but if you talk to the House leadership, you won't hear that. And you certainly aren't going to hear it on the Democratic side, and you don't hear it in the Senate. There has been terrific bipartisan support through the entire year. Think about what we've done over this year. All of it has been done in the full consultation and coordination with Congress. There's no such thing as a blank check. We're all doing it together. And the support from Congress has really been extraordinary, and the president looks forward to that support continuing.
Is the president prepared to send U.S. fighter jets to Ukraine?
We talked about this. I think the president actually got asked this question, and he spoke to it. I don't have anything to add from what the president said. I'll just tell you that we remain in constant communication with the Ukrainians about what their needs are, and those needs have evolved as the war has evolved, and we'll see where this goes.
If Poland has MiG-29s at Ramstein Air Base, is the U.S. prepared to facilitate the delivery of those MiG-29s?
I don't know any request by the Poles to transmit their MiG-29s to Ukraine. We have never dictated to another partner what they can or can't give or on what timeline. And if one of our allies and partners wants to provide fighter aircraft to President Zelensky, that's certainly a sovereign decision that they have every right to make, and we would welcome that.
My last follow-up on this, there's $100 million in the appropriations bill in July to train Ukrainian pilots on U.S. aircraft. What's the status of that training?
There's training underway right now because there's no commitment by the United States to provide fighter aircraft.
But you don't have to have a fighter aircraft to do the training.
There's no training underway right now, but fighter pilots.
Thank you.
On President Biden's trip to Poland, can we expect any deliverables during this trip, like a new military package for Ukraine or a new framework of support for Ukraine? And another one, you just mentioned at the beginning of this press briefing that there are 10,000 U.S. troops in Poland. Why there's no meeting with the troops on President Biden's schedule?
The president routinely visits with the men and women of the military and their families. So does the First Lady. You can't look at a single set of remarks he ever gives, including yesterday, where he doesn't call out the troops and how prideful he is in them. This particular trip is a short one, and it's going to be focused on events in Warsaw. You never want to make it about you when you're up here, but as a veteran myself, I can promise you I never worried, ever, when he was vice president or certainly as president, about his concern for the welfare of the men and women in uniform and their families.
And what about the first question?
I was trying to ignore the first question. I thought that if I was eloquent on my second answer, so I'm not going to get at the president. I think you can understand that. We have been consistent in rolling out additional security assistance packages to Ukraine on a fairly routine and regular basis, and that will continue. I'm not going to speak, get ahead of the presidential remarks. I think you'll hear from the president in his speech continued tangible support for Ukraine going forward. I mean, he will talk about the ways in which we're going to continue to support Ukraine going forward.
So on the balloon question, so you reached out to allies, told them that, you know, you believe that these balloons have been sighted over, you know, dozens of countries.
40.
Have you asked other countries to take action against those balloons, and have you seen an increase or decrease in the sighting and the activity since this all became public?
No, the purpose was not to ask them to take action one way or another. These are, again, sovereign decisions that nations have to make. It was about informing them of the context, of the forensics that we did to learn more about this program and the ways in which their countries may have been overflown in the past.
And that was a White House press briefing, National Security Council's John Kirby speaking on the aerial objects shot down over the United States and the White House response to the inquiries, particularly in looking at how this action affected relations with China, was allied with Russia, and the United States is allied with Ukraine. So as the diplomatic relations between the nations that are at war directly with each other and even indirectly, every action could initiate a reaction. What can the American people expect? President Biden continues to offer briefings daily through his National Security Council, which is John Kirby, and his press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre. That's all for today. You've been listening to On Air Daily News for Wednesday, February 22nd, 2023. I'm Naima Latif. Until tomorrow, enjoy the rest of your day.